Welcome back to Experiencing Healthcare with Matt Staub. My name is Jamie Preston, and we're glad you decided to join us. If you haven't listened to part one of this conversation on decision making, hit pause, go back, listen. In that episode, we unpack the silent cost of decision fatigue, why eliminating small decisions can help you lead with clarity, and how data and intuition often pull us in opposite directions. Now, in part two, we take things a step deeper. We're talking about the hidden emotional drivers behind our choices, ego, fear, vulnerability, and how real leadership means making hard calls even when consensus isn't there. So let's pick up where we left off with a tough question. Here we go. Let me ask you this, Matt. This one's a little harder. You know, we've talked a little bit about emotions and how emotions play a part. And we're emotional beings. We get angry, we get sad. We have all kinds of different emotions that we respond to. We make decisions based off those emotions sometimes. What do you do when your ego gets in the way? You know, how, you know, because sometimes the ego can cloud
judgment.
Oh, that question
took a hard left.
It did take a hard left, you know. Yeah. But here's the deal. We all have emotions. Guess what? We all have egos. Some bigger, some smaller. We all have egos. You know, how do you work through that?
I'm trying to stay very apolitical here in this podcast about decision making. Jamie, I'm glad you laughed at that. That helped me. Maybe other people got that joke. You know, I think that last week we were at 501 and Dr. Laura Cooley was presenting to the 501 group, which is a leadership development group for us. I'm sorry, there are some people that might not know what that is. It's a leadership development, kind of a higher level 501, kind of indicates like master's level, our own little master's class, if you will. and Dr. Cooley was presenting to this group and had the opportunity to invite me to do just kind of a quick interview about things. And she asked me, you know, Matt, what's one of the things that you're working on, you know, for you, for your own personal development, kind of as a, you know, idea of vulnerability, which we had talked about, I'm certainly fine with. And, you know, that all of us, have a craft that we want to continue to hone, or, you know, an area where we want to learn something new or something that we're working on. And, she asked me the question, what am I working on? And my response was, it's not about me. Mm-hmm. Mm. And I think that's one of those things that, you know, in a position where I have a great responsibility, that, you know, can affect a lot of people. I have to make sure that I am centering on good information, and almost all of the time, if not all of the time, it's not about me. And I think as human nature, you know, we have a tendency to always think about how is this going to affect me, no matter what it is. You know, we landed on the moon. How does this affect me? Neighbors moved in next door. How does this affect me? And I'm not faulting that, but, you know, I don't necessarily want to factor that in as a part of my initial swoop of decision making. So taking myself out of that. And it was funny because she said, well, not that you asked me the same question, Matt, but I'm going to pretend that you did. She said, you know, mine is to stay curious, which then, of course, Jamie took me right to Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
You know, being curious, not judgmental, but you know, hers was being curious and inquisitive, that had similar parallels to my, it's not about me and being curious. So, you know, I think that from the ego standpoint is, let me take in all the senses that are going on around me. Because, you know, some decisions that you have to make, you're making because you see the effects of something, and you're trying to do root cause analysis, you're trying to determine what's going on, and you know how the effects have affected you. But you don't always know the decisions that went in with the cause of the person making them, you know, and you can't take for granted how those decisions, you know, did that person think, okay, this is about me, this is bigger than me. Hopefully if it's our clinicians, then it is about that patient. And not that I've ever been to med school, but I have to imagine that, you know, there's part of that there, that it's not about so much as the clinician as much as it is the decision of the problem or the patient in front of them, and what decisions need to be made in order to help that patient achieve their goals.
Mm-hmm.
But I think sometimes, you know, certainly because, you know, the person that you're most familiar with is yourself, it's hard to factor that out of any decision.
Mm-hmm.
But something that has to be really intentional.
Yeah. I know for me, something I try to practice is having people around me that can be brutally honest and giving them permission, literally saying, hey, if you see I'm out of line here, if you feel that I'm making a poor decision with anything, you have my permission to speak up without judgment, without me getting mad, without me getting, you know, making it personal, but I'm going to listen to you. You know, I think having those kind of people around you that aren't afraid to speak up, I think are really important. I think having the right crew around you makes a big difference as well, especially when you're dealing with your ego, because we all have them at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think too, Jamie, you know, you have to, I think decision-making, you know, can be just like anything, you know, whether it's, you know, learning to play the piano or, excuse me, or exercise, you know, the more you do it, the better you become at it, right? So taking the opportunity to make decisions when they're appropriate, but then when you've made the decision, you know, when you surround yourself with other people, you have to see how those decisions then affect people.
Right.
Does it motivate and inspire, or does it detract and, you know, cause withdrawal? So, I think that's really important when you're talking about surrounding yourself and asking for vulnerability to really hear it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And you have to be able to listen, you know, to those around you. 'Cause I mean, who doesn't want to, nobody wants to make a wrong decision. Now I'm going to tee you up here. I want to put this on, I'm going to put this on the tee, and I want you to bomb it down the fairway. Matt, tell me what's worse.
The fairway of the hole we're playing, or
the hole we're playing. Yeah.
The fairway to the right. Cause I'm really good at hitting to that fairway on the right.
Yeah. Listen, sometimes I've had the last couple rounds, I've had a hole where I went to the right fairway, hit the wrong fairway, and it actually benefited me. So it's not always bad to go in the wrong fairway. But I'm going to tee you up here. Matt, what's worse than making the wrong decision?
I feel like you're teeing me up because you know the answer is not making
the
decision.
I do know the answer. Yeah. Because I've heard you say it. That's the only reason.
You know, the indecisiveness, and let me unpack that a little bit. I think not making a decision is far worse than making a wrong decision, because if you make a wrong decision, you know, my hope there is that you've made a decision, you've calculated, you know, your risk or your reward or all the things that you take to make a decision. You've made a decision and then you've measured it and said, okay, it was a wrong decision, it was a bad decision, this is what I would have done differently, and there's some following forward from that. With no decision, you don't even have that opportunity. It's just you've put it off. Now, a decision to stay the course, a decision to not take action, a decision to you know, not do something is a decision. And that might be where wrong decision, bad decision kind of comes in. But
yeah,
but I want to make sure that I'm very clear in that of deciding not to take action or deciding, hey, we're gonna continue with this medication regimen, or then that is a decision. I think we're talking about, Jamie, a case where, you know, you just don't make a decision at all. Mm-hmm. And I think that has real detriment, certainly in the professional world, of, you know, a decision is expected from you and you're not doing anything with that. Even if that decision is that you're expecting from me is, hey, I'm deciding not to do anything with this right now. Hey, we're going to stay the course here. Mm-hmm. The communication of that decision versus, Jimmy, you're looking for me for a decision and I'm not responding. We haven't talked about the decision that I need to make.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. And I think you have to have those times where you're saying, hey, let's put a hold on this right now. Right. We don't, again, it goes back to the information you have to make that decision or to make the best decision. But again, not making a decision, like you said, I think it stifles a lot of people, stifles a lot of companies, it stifles a lot of organizations that they just need a decision to be made. You know, you're at the point, you've got all the decision, you know, information that you need, you know, and sometimes at the end of the day, sometimes decisions aren't right or wrong. They're just a different direction. You know, and
that's
I think it's just, this is the way we chose to go, you know, and that's fine. It's not all black and white. It's not all, you know, binary. It's, we just gotta, you know, go with our, at that point, you use the data you have and go with your gut and say, yeah, we're making, this is where we're headed. You know, this is the culture,
Jimmy,
we're looking for.
Only kind of caveat exception that I'll have is something that happened recently within our practice. We had a patient who was just, strange things were happening. You know, there was some altered mental status. There was some physical falls and the physical deterioration, I guess, and the patient's caregiver, primary caregiver, certainly, you know, has been the champion for this patient.
Mm-hmm.
And was just really getting overwhelmed with all the things going on with, happened, the relationship here happened to be this person's father. And, you know, the caregiver of the patient really just stepped in and said, you know, I'm just tired. I want somebody to step in and just make these decisions for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that one just really kind of caught the team off guard, because the caregiver is generally the driver of care and very particular about how things are, and was just so overwhelmed with all that was going on for this person's dad that he wanted the team to step in and just say, here's what's going to happen. These are the things that need to be done. And, you know, again, not that wasn't a decision, because the decision was, I don't want to make any more decisions, and communicated that with the team. And I think there's absolutely value in that, because, you know, you don't want to get in a situation where you're making clouded judgment decisions because of exhaustion and, you know, overly emotional driven. Mm-hmm. And being able to have a team to lean on, especially a healthcare team, they can come in and say, okay, these are the things that are going to happen. We hear you, we hear where you are. We're going to help. So I think there are times that decision fatigue can really wear on people. And that's one of those things I think is healthcare professionals, clinicians, we have to stay in tune to, not that we have to step in and make decisions for everybody, but really recognizing that with our patients or our families, to know that to be able to recognize the decision fatigue and the detrimental effects it could cause.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great. So good. Now, I think a lot of companies, depending on the company, some companies are very top-down driven. You know, the decisions are coming from the top. They're just being made for you kind of a lot of times. Other companies are much more collaborative and, you know, your health is very data driven and, you know, has, I think, a combination of those things. You know, Matt, as a CEO though, what do you do when, you know, consensus isn't there? When, you know, you feel like this is the right way to go, but others don't. Others are kind of against you, if you will, against that decision, against that path, that, but you feel like the data points this direction. You feel like your gut is saying this is the way to go. How do you lead through that? How do you get to the other side of that? You know, knowing that, you know, this is, cause we talk a lot about democracy. We talk a lot about those things, and those things are important in our country. And, you know, not to get apolitical there, again, but, you know, how do you work through that? You know, when you feel like this is the way to go, I know everybody's saying this, but I feel like we got to go this way.
Yeah. I mean, that's where it gets tough, because, you know, if you're a person who depends on, you know, we've talked about inner circle before, it depends on your inner circle. Maybe your inner circle is telling you one thing and you want to go in another way, you know, decisions, you know, like I said earlier, you have to be accountable to them. You have to take responsibility for your decisions and, you know, the decisions that you make that can be divisive, you know, can sometimes, be counterintuitive to the interpersonal relationship work that you're doing or team building or what have you. So, you know, when the vast majority, overwhelming majority at all, or, you know, maybe it's not the majority, maybe it's just 50-50 split. You've got some people that are supportive and some people that are saying, hey, I don't feel like this is the right decision to make, or maybe this isn't the direction that we want to go. You know, I think it's hard for people to justify decisions sometimes, you know, sometimes to kind of go back to the ego talk, like, okay, this is the decision that I've made. I made the decision, respect the decision. And, you know, I think there's a time and a place for that and a piece for that. You know, if it's something that's urgent, you know, you're dealing with crisis management, you don't necessarily have the ability to armchair quarterback decisions. But I think, you know, being able to give people the avenue opportunity to say, you know, I hear you. I hear that you don't agree with this decision. Can I ask you why? You know, to go back to Dr. Cooley's, you know, being curious, like, what is it about? What don't you like? And maybe you already know, but sometimes, you know, you want to give the opportunity to maybe see the rest of the story. What else is behind that? That's causing the disagreement, or, you know, you don't like the decision. But I think too, then it kind of comes back to information and data. Like, does this person have all the information that I had that I needed to make that decision? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, is there information asymmetry here? Do I have information that I assume other people have that they don't have? You know, I feel like I've seen that a lot. Like, hey, why did we make this decision? Oh, well, we had this piece of information. Oh, I didn't know that. Well, yeah, okay, it's clear why we made the decision. So, not necessarily justifying your decision, but sometimes that helps affirm your decision, that when you can take somebody from a, I don't agree with this, to a, oh, I see why we made this decision. You know, helps to affirm that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always a tricky situation when you get into the, you know, those times, where you just feel like this is the way we got to go. I got to make the decision. and you go with it, you know, even when, yeah, people you love and trust are saying the opposite thing. And that's always tough to go through. But yeah, that's part of leadership, though. I think that's part of it. That's just, that comes with the territory. You do the best you can. And, you know, Matt, how do you treat yourself, though, when you make the wrong decision? What do you do when you get down to it and you think, you know what, I clearly made the wrong choice here? What do you do in those moments?
If I get the moment to kind of analyze how I got to the decision and maybe what I would do differently, then, you know, I take that. Sometimes I've made decisions about, you know, the one that's coming to mind is about personnel changes, putting people in different positions and thinking, you know, this isn't a good choice for this person. You know, this is a bad decision, maybe. And then having, you know, realize that was the right choice, you know, that was the right person. And I think you have to own that, and say, hey, you know, we all make decisions that we think, gosh, this isn't gonna turn out good, but it does. And I think that only strengthens that decision making process for you. You know, right. it helps you go, okay, well, you know, Jamie, we've talked about before, if it can go bad, then it can also go good, because all of our crystal balls are in the shop. So right. You know, if you're thinking about, hey, I've made this decision, I don't know if it's gonna work out, is there some particular data that you have to help you make that decision and or help you predict that? And do you then, you know, go back on it? I guess it'd probably make more sense if I used my example of several years ago. We tasked Rebecca Dillard with patient experience, and I've worked with Rebecca for a long time. Very smart, very talented individual. I didn't think that patient experience was the best place for her. Just knowing, you know, her background, and have said countless times to Rebecca and in front of others that I was never more happy to be wrong about that. That Rebecca has really thrived in that position, has, you know, recently achieved a certification as a patient experience professional, certified patient experience professional, which isn't an easy certification to come by. And you know, you have to go, okay, this is where, you know, you have to trust the process of the decision making. And then sometimes, you know, like in this example, you can't predict the outcome. You can only bring somebody to the opportunity. And sure. Rebecca certainly, you know, made it her own and jumped in full force and shared with me not too long ago that, you know, certainly it's been life-changing for her with this initiative, and certainly life-changing for me and for our practice, this intentional effort of patient experience that that Rebecca has been the driving force on.
Yeah.
So sometimes, yeah, you know, you make that decision on faith.
Right. Yeah. There's so many different things that go into this process and decision making, and you're going to be wrong sometimes. I think you have to be kind to yourself at the end of the day, because we can tend to be a little hard on ourselves, you know, as a leader, as you know, I think everybody does that, and they can be hard on the decisions they make wrong or that they feel are incorrect. And so at the end of the day, you got to realize, hey, I'm not perfect. Like you said a second ago, you don't have a crystal ball. If we did have a crystal ball, I think life would be a lot more boring. I think life would be very mundane. It's being able to get it wrong. Like if I could go out and hit on the golf course and hit every shot perfect, it would no longer be fun. You know, it really, really wouldn't be fun. it's in the failures. It's in all those things that bring this. I think that's part of bringing the spice to life. Now, do we want to be wrong? No. Do we want to try to make the wrong decisions? No, obviously not. But it just happens. And I think people, you got to be kind to yourself at the end of the day. What would you, as we close this, Matt, what would you say to that? Tell those people.
I welcome the day where, Jamie, either you or I hit all perfect shots and we don't have to play the game anymore. I can't wait for that day.
Right.
But
yeah,
it doesn't seem like it's going to happen.
No,
with hitting perfect shots on the golf course. You know, I think that, you know, somebody recently said, you know, don't think of it as winning or losing. Think of it as winning or learning. And, you know, I think that really resonated with me because, you know, I hold winning in such a high regard and such a fashion, whether that's, you know, with playing golf or sports teams or, you know, myself. And you know, there's not a time where it's either winning or losing, and losing just feels so wrong. But it's, you know, making a decision, you know, to stick with the theme, making the decision and feeling confident that it's the right decision, only to find out that, you know, it didn't happen the way that you wanted to, it wasn't executed the way that you wanted to, you know, or the decision, you know, might have been a bad one. And then how do you learn from that? So now you're in a new position to make new decisions with new experiences. You know, and I think that makes us better as decision makers, better as colleagues, better as teammates, healthcare professionals, whatever have you. But, you know, you have to be vulnerable enough to, one, make the decision and then, two, learn from it.
Yeah. So good. This has been great, Matt. You have a 2:00 meeting to get to go make some more decisions.
Yeah.
So
I'm excited about it now. Lucky you. Pumped.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, decision making can be fun. It can also be challenging. It can be scary. It can be terrifying. It can be frustrating. It's all of the above, obviously. But I think if we have these processes, these things, these data points, all these things that we've talked about, I think will make it a little bit easier and then enjoyable. So, Matt, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, and, Jamie.
Have a good week.
You too.
Decision making isn't about being right. It's about being responsible. You're going to make mistakes. Just face it. We all are. You're going to have doubts. But the difference between good leaders and great ones is this. Great leaders are willing to learn out loud. Be vulnerable. That's what makes them great. It's not that they don't make mistakes. It's that they do it out loud, that they're okay with that. Because that's where we learn. So here's your challenge this week. Reflect on a recent decision, not the easy one, but the one that kept you up all night. Ask yourself, did I learn something? Did I invite the right voices in? Did I grow? Because like we said, there's no such thing as winning or losing. There's only winning or learning. This podcast is sponsored by Your Health and produced by Story Society Creative and edited by me, Jamie Preston. Until next time, make bold decisions, own your outcomes, stay curious. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time.